Today's episode of The Mom Game is brought to you by our friends at Gateway Buick GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is, Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new Buicks, GMCs, and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaybuickgmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule your delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway Buick GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So, when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaybuickgmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. Experience the new Buick.
Thank you, Emily. I am going to tell everybody what Golden Chick has going on now, because at Golden Chick, until September 1st, guests can get the sweet heat-inspired hot honey sriracha sauce through September 1st. So for the rest of this month, if you haven't had it yet, you got to try it. It's coated atop Golden Chick favorites like crispy hand-breaded wings and the ever-popular Golden Tenders for a fiery flavor experience. And for this, Golden Chick went straight to the source. They asked their loyal brand followers via social media to vote on what sauce they wanted to see. And this is the first time they've done something like this. And everybody voted on this one, the hot honey sriracha sauce. That's what they wanted to see. It was an overwhelming choice. This Swaheet sauce, which is sweet heat, you combine it to Swaheet. It was crowned the winner. It combines the bold flavors of garlic and red chili peppers with sweet honey, which helps balance that spice. You can get the 4-piece hot honey sriracha sauced and tossed tenders and a fresh baked yeast roll for just $6.99, or you can combo with the addition of a Southern style side and a 30-ounce beverage for $9.99. I just hit up Golden Chick the other day when I was super tired at the end of the day, didn't know what to feed the kids, and I loved it. I got the combo fried and roasted chicken, so we're like a little bit healthy, a little bit crunchy and happy, you know, and some green beans and some fries, and it was a hit with everybody in the house. Thank you so much, Golden Chick, for your support here of The Mom Game. And welcome in now to our Coppola studios here at The Mom Game, and you might notice it is not Emily Jones on set with us today. Emily has family in town. It's the last week of summer for her. She's getting in all of that lovely family time before she had a Rangers game this afternoon. And I called Sarah Blaskovich. She's been a guest host here on the show before, so you might know her. And she's also a good friend of mine. We went to college together. We're sorority sisters. And she is the senior food writer for the Dallas Morning News. Thank you so much, Sarah, for coming in.
Julie, I'm so glad to be back.
Yes, I know. Okay, we have so much to get to, and we are going to have a really special guest later on in this show, Jeff Bakovac, the owner of Goodwin's, the new restaurant that I swear everybody's talking about.
Everybody's talking about it. You're so right.
Yes, and he's just an awesome person. He's a dad, and it's a wonderful conversation that we were able to have with him about kind of juggling it all and how you open a new restaurant, how much goes into that. It's kind of crazy. And you were the perfect person to be here for that guest. But we have a lot to talk about before we even get to that.
Yes.
Because I know that we're both fighting through summer mom.
Counting down to the first day of school.
Counting down to the first day of school. So my kids will go back this coming Monday. So just a few days from now. And mine is Tuesday.
Mine are Monday.
Yours are Monday.
And we don't have one of those like Christmas countdown garlands like we used to make when we were children. But I'm this close to making it. I mean, if you ask me tomorrow, I might know the number of hours.
Yeah.
Until Monday.
I know. And I'm like, I'm currently struggling with the like, okay, we only have so much time left, and then they're going to be in school all day, and I want to be, like, cool, fun mom and, like, do the projects and, like, go do some fun activities, but then every single day, it's not happening. It doesn't happen. I was actually trying to make it through this week with, like, zero camps or, like, childcare plans.
Ooh, okay.
Because we work at home-ish, you know, and so I can kind of juggle, but it was non-existent. And I found myself once again on a Sunday night cruising the internet trying to find a camp that I could get my kids in.
This is not a risk we take because it's so risky. I mean, I totally see what you're doing. And it's, to add to the end of our summer, my little one's preschool, which is awesome and is almost never closed, is taking 2 days off Thursday and Friday of this week before, like, public school starts the next week, which I was like, no.
Why? Like, randomly?
It's like a teacher in-service day, okay. So they're going to learn something smart, and our adorable four-year-old is going to be home with us, but our adorable four-year-old is going to be home with us.
Right.
You know, during two work days. So we'll figure it out, but we've had a better summer this past summer with two working parents than we have so far as parents. But that's not a brag because I don't think summer has been excellent. Yeah. I mean, it is so challenging. I hope moms listening feel like seen. It is so challenging to have a full-time job, to try to have friends, and, you know, to have kids either home or at camps. And then you want to, in addition to all that being so expensive, you want them to be enriched and excited. And like sometimes at the end of whatever camp, you know, one of my kids will be like, I didn't want to do that.
Right? I'm like, you're like, sorry.
What?
So I don't think I told Emily this on the show last week. I didn't. So last week it was another one of those like Sunday night before, or I think we were on vacation and I could feel that we were going to come back from vacation and just be attacked with like stuff, stuff, life stuff. And I needed them to go somewhere. I signed them both up for a tumble camp and Ryder was the only boy.
Oh, sweet.
And he, you know what? Like he didn't complain.
Do you think he liked it?
I think he liked it. And
great.
He did something different. And, you know, he did say like he had to go to the baby line because he didn't know how to do a cartwheel. And
oh, sweet boy.
Some of the girls were like not bullying. I don't want to use that word, but some of the girls were like teasing him and stuff. But I think that's good for him.
He had to learn how to do a cartwheel.
He had to learn how to do a cartwheel. And I got 9 to 2 covered all day because you have to put them in different camps sometimes, but it gets to be hard with the different places and the different times. And
yeah, two kids in different camps is exceptionally hard, but two kids with the same interest in the same camp might be even rarer.
Yeah.
Might be even harder.
Right. I know.
You know, it's like, does everybody want to go to Junior Eco Explorer Camp? Or is only one of you interested in oceans this week?
Oh, neither of you. I don't care because it fits my needs.
And we're going.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, no, I think that school starting is a very welcome thing for most, not just moms, but all parents
right now.
And now is when we pass the baton to the teachers and bless their hearts because I don't know how they do it with so many kids in one class.
I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
Actually, I was so not meant to have a job like that. And that's fine. I do a job that I think I was more meant to do. But, like, teachers, man.
Yeah. It's crazy.
They were just made a different way than me, I think.
Right.
It's incredible, actually.
It really is. And so we get, like, our email with the kids' teachers tomorrow, which is a real exciting thing.
We have our meet the teacher today.
Oh, you do?
So
do they know who they have?
Yes, but we haven't. And we do know her just being around the school.
Uh-huh.
But we'll do the formal thing. And we'll bring crazy little sister because this is our family of four.
Right.
You know, and so we'll go and do that.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. So you've managed to get through the summer pretty well. Nothing too crazy.
Although I, you know.
You have like a story, right?
There have been massive failures along the way.
Uh-huh.
One was that
I like sharing failure. We like sharing our failures here on
the show. Sure. So that everybody knows we're all human, right? We're all doing our very best. I had waited all day for a restaurant owner to call me. It was kind of an important story. And the phone call came after 6 p.m. when we were at gymnastics, which is a thing both of our girls do. And I answered my phone, and I happened to be, like, in that little side room for, like, the parents who – didn't finish their day right and need to like catch up on the rest of the emails. It's like there's a lot of understanding feelings inside that room because you can like see anybody who's got their laptop open and it's 6:15 p.m. on a Tuesday, you're like, oh, you're also still in it today.
Yeah.
But you're trying to look out the window and clap, 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 clap when she does a back roll.
Right.
Gymnastics. So
they first look, they look and they want to see if you're looking.
Well, you can't be looking down.
Right.
Okay, so the phone call comes, I open my laptop, I'm ready, even though it's, you know, later, and I start to take notes, and Brooke, my four-year-old, comes up, she has to go potty. We are right in the middle of a good story this person is telling me, and I have not told the person on the other end of the line that we are at gymnastics. It didn't come up. I didn't need to tip my hand that that's what I was doing right this second. So me and my laptop and my ear pods and a four-year-old go into the bathroom during the interview. And we're in the handicap stall, and I've got my laptop open on one arm, and I'm typing with the other hand while she is going potty. I'm on mute, and then I unmute, ask a question, mute back. I'm listening while I'm actually listening, typing, and whatever. Mute again, flush the toilet.
Oh, my gosh.
I think there might be some butt wiping.
Oh, my gosh.
The whole thing with the computer in there. Then I ask another question. I'm taking notes. Take a break. Wash my hands while we're on mute because I've just helped a kid in the bathroom. I took my computer into the bathroom.
Yeah.
I walk her back out. I get her back into class. I walk back into the room. We finish the interview in another 5 minutes, and I have enough information to write the story that I wanted to write. But goodness gracious, laptops should not go in the children's potty.
I really thought you were going to say you dropped your laptop.
Oh, thank goodness. I thought about, you know, the changing table. That's a dirty place. And so I thought about it would have been easier to set it on the changing table. But I was like, I don't think I should.
Yeah.
So I didn't.
Right.
But I was like,
I know. I always kind of buy the changing table. I'm like, can I set? Nope. Like, because you always have, I always have 17 cups and purses and everything. No. Well, I'm glad that you got it figured out.
Thank you. I haven't told anybody that, and I won't share it with the source, and I want anybody else who ever has me call them for interviews.
Do they have kids?
That I don't know.
But
it's, this is not normal, but it's also like, sometimes you got to do your thing.
I don't see why anybody would, one, care that you were at gymnastics. See, that's one thing. And two, you had to take your kid to the bathroom. If somebody's inconsiderate to that, that's
kids gotta go potty.
Yeah, and you got the job done.
We got the job done. Yes,
I think every mom relates to the.
That's working mom shit at its finest.
Or at its worst, depending on the day. But
yeah,
but the work got done. But it was after gymnastics that the coaches always come to talk to the parents, and we love this place so much. They're so wonderful to our kids, and coach came up to talk about how Brooke did that day, and I was like, I just have to apologize. If you saw the laptop and the bathroom and all the other stuff, I think I missed a trick that she did and wasn't there to do a golf clap at the side of the mat.
Yeah.
And this, God bless this coach, she was like, you know what? You're working hard, and it didn't matter. And I was like, I really needed to hear that.
Oh,
thank you.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
I think every mom relates, though, to the when you're watching them in dance or gymnastics, and then they have to go to the bathroom. Like, you think you have, like, an hour.
Like, we've talked about
and you're just
this.
Watching, and you're like, okay, I'm going to go to my phone. And then you look up, and you're like, please don't be my daughter. Please don't be. Oh, it's my daughter.
Yeah.
Got to take her to the bathroom.
We've pre-gamed this. We've gone to the bathroom before.
Yeah.
We've talked about how if you have to go a little, maybe you can hold it, and we'll go at the end.
Uh-huh.
And still, it's probably 50% of the gymnastics classes. The 4-year-old has to go potty and wants a buddy.
It's so funny.
Sure.
So I saw one thing. I don't know how you are with, like, all of the Instagram reels that make you feel all of the different ways about parenting and how you parent.
Yeah.
And you're not doing it well, or you're not doing enough. Or then you get the little therapy pop-ups of the therapist that says this and that. And there's just so much that's out there that can, like, infiltrate your brain about parenting. Every once in a while, though, I see one that I think is, like, useful. And I thought this one was kind of cute. I wanted to see what you thought about it. So I saw one. It was, like, a tip for getting ready to go back to school.
Yep.
And it was called practice donuts. Because for me, the morning routine is going to be hard because my kids have been sleeping in a lot.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be hard for all of us.
Uh-huh.
Like, so the thought is you wake up the exact time that you need to, pretend like you're going, get all ready, pack the backpack, get dressed, pretend like you're going to school and get there on time, but then you actually just go have donuts. And you isn't that cute? You actually go have donuts and you, like, sit there, maybe you go to the playground and eat your donuts and just, like, talk about how you're feeling about going back to school.
Oh, that's sweet.
So now I'm like, oh, that sounds great. Oh, wait, I don't have a morning and school starts in, like, you know, however many days. I don't think I can squeeze it. And then you have the mom guilt. And you're like, I wish I could do the practice donuts. And who knows? Maybe I will. But I thought that was actually maybe a cute one.
That is cute, especially for the kids who are apprehensive about going back to school. I think the other reason why that's really great is, I don't know if you do this, Julie, but there is an exact time that we need to get out the door to make this all happen. And it's not like a round number.
No.
You know, like it's not like 7:40. It's like 7:37.
Yeah.
And when the clock strikes that number and then you see the number after it, you're like, oh, we gotta go. And so we know what our number is, and if we can just get the rhythm down of getting out at that time with all the stuff, I mean, that's a huge win. And if we can't, ooh.
I know. It's a tough start. Already stressing me out.
I know. We can do it, though.
Yeah, we can do it. How long do you have everybody wake up before your number?
We get up before the kids do.
I like asking people this.
Yeah, this is a great question. We get up before the kids do, but not a long way. And then my kids need about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So to get themselves dressed, we've started putting clothes out the night before. Less because of the getting dressed quickly thing and more because of the sometimes they don't want to wear something if we're caught in a quick moment.
Right.
And our elementary school has uniforms, but there are options, right? We have like, you know, red polos and navy polos
that's
and stuff.
That's kind of nice. So you can just pull from a certain stack,
we can.
Closet.
Although we do the night before decide that we want the red one.
Right.
Because then it's like, well, I want the blue one. And of course, Julie, like, I didn't wash the blue one.
Right.
And I'm not ready.
Oh, I love these camps where they give you one shirt and they're like, wear this.
Oh, we've done one of those.
On Monday and Wednesday and Friday. And I'm like, what?
No, and you can buy another one, though. If you want yeah. to, you can spend more money
right.
than you've already spent on this expensive
And then you never
camp.
Wear the camp shirts again.
And you can
they're
have
so
five
big, and they
of
come
the
down
same
to your
camp.
Knees and they say random like Bible quotes on them that
it's
are like
the
cool,
whole
but also like what? Yeah.
This is for kid safety.
Yeah.
You know, like the now we know that everybody in this color is part of this group or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I love a camp that will give you the free shirt
mm-hmm.
at the end of the week, and like you come home on Thursday, and then on Friday, everybody wears that shirt.
That, yes.
Thursday night is such a gift.
It is.
Because it's
it
like,
is.
We know what we're wearing already because they gave us this thing.
Exactly. You don't have to wash it.
No.
You have that little souvenir from camp, and it's nice.
Well,
I'm proud of us that we've almost survived summer.
Still standing.
Summer momming.
Yep.
We're still standing. And it's here. I can't even believe it. But back to school is here, and it's going to be a whole new mom stage here in just a few days.
That's right.
Okay, so Emily, when she comes back, she's going to tell everybody about getting her second eye done over at Tylock George Eye Care, and she is currently seeing 20/20 vision because of it. I did LASIK eye surgery. I'm currently seeing 20/20 because of my surgery, and the people over at Tylock George Eye Care have just been wonderful to work with. And I just love that, like, both of us had different problems, situations going on with our eyes, and they took a look at us and they're like, okay, you need this, 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 and you need this, and we can do all of that here. And they fixed our vision. Like, I needed LASIK. She is basically got rid of her readers because she'd already had LASIK, like, you know, 15 years ago. And then now she was at the point where she was always pulling out her readers. And she was also having a little bit of like early cataract stuff.
Yep.
So what they were able to do was go in and fix her current vision so she doesn't need her readers anymore and get ahead of the cataract stuff. So now she's not going to have that problem pop up.
So do you not wear contacts or glasses at all?
Not anymore.
Like you open your eyes and you can see?
Yes. It's
what?
Brand new. It's brand new. I had my first indoor tennis experience like 2 days ago where I didn't have to like wear weird glasses. Not wearing glasses is fine, but it's like not comfortable
with sports.
For playing tennis. And then my glasses were always all scratched. And so it was really hard to see. Anyways, I had my first indoor tennis experience where I could just like go play. And then today it was
wow.
like, oh, I don't have my sunglasses. Wait, I can wear any pair of sunglasses in the world.
Totally.
They don't have to be prescription. So it's such a game changer.
Oh.
And anybody that's thinking about getting LASIK or if you are like tied to your readers, maybe you didn't even know that Tylock could help you, and they can. And we do have an exclusive code. It is tylock.com/TMG, and some cool stuff coming up with our friends over at Tylock George Eye Care. Okay, so quickly, before we get to Jeff, the owner of Good Winds, the new hottest spot in town on Greenville Avenue, tell us a little bit about what you have going on with the Dallas Morning News, whatever maybe you're most excited about, most
sure.
proud of, what's going on in your world.
There are two big food things that are on my mind. And the first is that last month, Michelin announced that it will start inspecting Texas restaurants. So Michelin is one of the most revered critical restaurant companies in the world. And you've probably heard of Michelin-starred restaurants in Europe and in New York City and in parts of California. And Michelin doesn't look at any restaurant ever. They sort of set territories. And so they finally set a territory in Texas. And this was a deal made with five major cities, Dallas and Fort Worth among them. The other three are San Antonio, Austin, and Houston. And so by this fall, Michelin will release a guide that will tell people from their anonymous perspective what they think are our best restaurants. And this is a huge deal in the food scene. So we already have restaurant critics in our city. We have lots of people on Instagram and TikTok who have opinions about restaurants. We have people like me. I'm a reporter, not a critic, but, you know, I know our restaurant scene fairly well. And so there are already people sort of circling around this sphere. But, you know, Michelin is the Olympics. It is international. And to get recognized by Michelin is the highest honor. And so, and many chefs like spend their entire career trying to be noticed by Michelin.
Okay.
So that's the first thing that happened in food this summer is that we learned Michelin was coming. And the Dallas Morning News produced, I think it was 6 stories in 24 hours about it.
Wow.
It was,
I remember seeing yours.
This was major. It was major for me personally because it tried my abilities as a reporter to be smart and quick and connected. And so I just loved all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, you know, professionally, this will change my job. So when the guide comes out in, I think it's going to be October or November, we will write about that. We will then talk about Michelin much more regularly than we ever used to because we just didn't have Michelin-starred restaurants in Texas, period.
Okay.
We still don't until they release this first guide. Then once a year, they give an updated guide.
Wow.
Those who get Michelin stars will need to those restaurants will need to keep those stars, and if they lose them, we'll write news stories about that. So there's just a it's a huge deal that will affect the tone of how Dallas is talked about nationally and internationally, and it'll also just steer a lot of the stories that we choose to write based on who Michelin might honor.
Okay, so you'll kind of follow who they're
choosing. It will matter
in a
big picture sense. Now, anybody listening, I'm still covering ice cream shops and, you know, pizza joints that won't be eligible for Michelin stars because they're just, you know, casual.
Right.
We'll be doing all that too. I'm still going to love Tex-Mex and barbecue and
so this
street
is more
tacos.
Fine dining kind of?
It is. They say they're going to look at any restaurant, including they specifically called out Tex-Mex and barbecue. Now, Michelin's system is there are 3 stars. There's a 1-star, 2-star, and a 3-star. That's what people know. I don't think we will have a ton of 1-star restaurants in Dallas-Fort Worth, but we will have probably some. Then, though, there's a couple other designations. One is called the Bib Gourmand, which is for less expensive restaurants that just deserve a nod. So something that's not a 1-star Michelin restaurant, maybe not a tasting menu, maybe not fine dining, but great on its own. And that's where I think Tex-Mex could come in. And then there's a Green Star Award for those that are environmentally friendly. And then there's the final award is called Recommended. And basically, I don't think you get a blurb on why they recommend you, but it's kind of like it's a thumbs up. Like these restaurants are recommended. And so even those that are on the recommended list will get a lot of attention. But so that's the first thing that's just
big. Yeah.
It's big and it's exciting. And it, I'm proud of the work we did at the Dallas Morning News. It was hard work. And that week was crazy. But you know, you're a news person, Julie. Like it was so exhilarating.
Yeah.
And it just made me really proud to do good work.
Got the adrenaline going. Yeah.
Yeah. But I probably worked 20-hour days for like many days in a
row.
Wow. It was just really a big thing.
Yeah.
The second thing which happened this week is that the State Fair of Texas is coming. And I love this so much. I love the food at the fair and I cover every shred of the new foods every year. I try them all many, many times. By the time we get to the first day of the state fair, I will have tried all these new 10 foods at least 3 times. So this week, I tried all 10 for the first time.
Okay.
The press conference happens to be at 6:10 in the morning so that TV people can come and it can be considered for morning news. And so before the sun came up that day, I had eaten deep fried brisket. I had eaten Nashville hot chicken pimento cheese balls.
Oh my gosh.
Were deep fried in pancake batter.
Okay.
I'd eaten
these sound good.
A stuffed corny dog. I had 5 desserts, including one that is a drink. So the state fair in general excites me.
Yeah.
And these, they call it the Big Tex Choice Awards, and it's they pick 10 sort of belles of the ball out of a list of I think 64 food and drink. And those 10 become like the ones we talk about and the ones that we will do a taste test for on the first day.
I just want to put it out there real fast. This is the exact same week Sarah came on last year.
Oh, really? Like,
seriously.
Did I talk about this in this way last year?
Yeah.
This seems to be a thing.
Yeah, it does.
The exact same week.
State fair buddies. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of the fair. A lot of people complain that it's expensive, mm-hmm. and it is, especially if you're eating all these 10 foods like I am. But I take my kids to the fair now. And, you know, I'm from Dallas. Like, this is ours.
Yes. It's a big deal here.
It's fun.
Yes.
I don't let my kids play hundreds of dollars worth of games.
No.
But I do make them eat the fried foods that I like.
You have to exactly.
It's part of the job.
You have to tell them going in.
That's right.
Okay. And you told me about the best secret wine spot. At the fair.
Oh, you mean the wine garden?
I think it was like somewhere you could get like a big pour.
Oh, it was the wine garden.
Yes.
They gave the, we got to check and make sure the pours are still going to be good.
I know.
But there was a corner off of Nimitz that just had like, you know, when you ask for a glass of wine someplace and like maybe they don't serve a lot of wine.
Yeah.
So sometimes they just give you like a hell of a lot of wine.
That's like how like a 16-year-old would pour a glass of wine.
That's right. It's yeah. Or like you go like, what kind of reds do you have? And they go, I don't know, they're red. You know, like that. So the wine garden, let me be clear, they do know about wine.
Right.
And I think they know how to pour wine too. But they were just being like very generous with the pours. And when you go to the fair, you buy the coupons and that feels like funny money. It's like you're in Vegas and mm-hmm. maybe it's not real. But we all know you had to use your own money to buy those coupons, even though you're paying with coupons. And so to get more than you expected at a place like the fair feels tops.
It does. You told me that secret and I felt like I was winning. Like I was
totally
on top of the world. I knew something no one else knew because I was sitting there with my big pour of wine and it was like $6 or something. It wasn't a bad price.
And
it was a good rosé.
Yes. Oh, did you go to the one? It was like a turfed area right near Big Tex. Like
that's
if you're,
it was
you're
like
behind
Big Tex's butt. That's it.
Jinx. Yes. I got to check and make sure they're still there. That's the Fernie's Funnel Cake family.
Uh-huh.
And that was their stand. Yes. Let me correct. It wasn't the Wine Garden, which is also a wonderful place off of Nimitz.
Yeah.
This was behind Big Tex's butt.
This is Big Tex's butt.
They've had that stand for a
secret
long time.
Wine
I would guess
spot.
That they're there. And if you know that like little skyway thing that goes above the midway, it's like right there.
Yeah.
Where it kind of ends.
Yes, that was a great tip.
That is a great. I'm gonna
so
put
much
together
quality knowledge from Sarah.
We're gonna do a discount story at dallasnews.com/food. So anybody, pay attention to that in the next couple of weeks. It'll tell you like if you bring a canned good or a jar of peanut butter or whatever those.
Mm-hmm.
Bring a can of Dr. Pepper, yada yada. You can get like discounts on certain days on tickets.
Oh, great! Yeah,
and you know a little bit goes a long way. So
yeah,
we'll try to help people out so that they do go to the fair and eat all the foods that I'm jazzed about. And please look out for me if you go to the fair, you guys. I'm like a fan.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I love it. And I love reading your work. I love when it hits my inbox.
Thank
and
you.
I see your little picture. How do people find you, follow you, all that jazz?
On X is the best way, at S Blaskovich. I'm also on Instagram at Sarah Blaskovich, Sarah with an H. And you can email me at sblaskovich@dallasnews.com. I get a lot of emails a day, but I do respond to every single one that asks me a question. And I've, you know, planned people's anniversaries and, you know, given them date night spots. I've helped people, like, decide where to have their baby showers in restaurants and stuff. So I kind of love that stuff. I want to be your friend in the know.
Wow, that is so amazing. Okay, from Sarah being the friend in the know to the restaurant world to a good friend also in the restaurant world who is home of now a neighborhood restaurant, Jeff Beckebeck. Now it is time for our special guest today, and he is brought to us by our friends at Early Bird. You know Early Bird if you've been listening to The Mom Game, because we're pretty obsessed with them here on this show. And if you haven't tried it, you must. It is what helps Emily survive in this world. It is a CBD gummy, and it helps you just chill out. We like to use it right before bed, and you just kind of relax and take the edge off. And we do have a code that can help you get 20% off. The code is MOMGAME20, and you can use it for that first order online. Just head over to earlybirdcbd.com, and the magic in this thing is a microdose of THC from hemp. That's the core feature of the gummies, and that's kind of what you need to know about it. There are also some retail partners here in DFW, but the easiest way to do it is earlybirdcbd.com, momgame20. And now we have a really special guest that I'm excited to introduce to our Mom Game listeners. You might have heard about the hottest new restaurant in town right now,
Goodwin's,
on Greenville Avenue. And when all this unfolded where Emily needed the week off because she has family in town, Sarah was going to come guest host with me, and I was thinking, who could we have on just to kind of mix it up and bring a guest on? Okay, so we have this food expert from the Dallas Morning News. Who is the perfect guest? And one person popped into my mind is Jeff Beckovac, the owner of Goodwin's and head chef, owner.
Yeah.
And yeah, and we also have a really cool connection because we're neighbors. Yep. And our little girls are good friends.
Yep.
And I just thought this would be the perfect opportunity to learn about your restaurant, learn about the restaurant business, how you got here, and everything. So thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. So did you have to tell us, like, just for today?
Yeah.
What's your day been like, and how did you sneak away to do this podcast around lunchtime?
Yeah. I usually start the day between 8:30 and 9 o'clock in the morning, and
even though it's a dinner only,
It's a dinner only restaurant right now, there's a lot of stuff that goes on during the day, besides, you know, the prep and the cooking. There's just phone calls. There's figuring out the reservation book. There's figuring out, you know, I get a million texts a day for reservations and talking to vendors and all kinds of stuff. So you have to kind of be available during the day to talk to all them. So they don't walk in at 5 o'clock when
right.
You know, customers are walking in, all that kind of stuff. So, the day kind of starts off right now. You know, we've been open for about 2 months, and I have a great team with me, a great chef team. So they're who I trust a lot, and they're taking a lot of weight off my shoulders so we can kind of start to go out and figure out where this business is going to go and what direction we want to take it and how we want to continue to grow and how we want to continue to get better. So that's kind of what our day is, you know, before the shift starts.
Yeah.
You could say so.
And Sarah, I know you've written about it.
Yes.
And you were one of the first ones to go in there before the doors were open.
I was. It's funny to hear you say that it's been open 2 months.
Yeah.
Because you guys, I have been to Goodwin's so many times. I'm sort of annoyed how much I like this restaurant. Jeff and Austin, his co-owner, do a fantastic job of food and hospitality.
Thank you.
On top of that, it's in my neighborhood. We could walk there, and we have.
Yeah.
And then there's an attached bar where even if we're going to dinner someplace else in the neighborhood, we sort of, if you have a babysitter, you must stop in and have
absolutely
a martini.
Yep.
On the way home. And man, everything about that restaurant makes sense to me, Jeff.
Thank you.
And then it comes up in conversation with other people, food people, neighbors, and like nobody has a single bad thing to say about it. Mm-hmm. And that almost never happens. So huge fan of Goodwin's. And I feel like it's been part of the neighborhood for a long time, which is maybe the highest compliment I can offer is it's new. It is shiny. People in Dallas like new and shiny stuff, especially when it comes to restaurants. But it reads like you've been there before. Like I've been there. I mean, I've probably been there 5 or 6 times, and it feels like I've been there more than that. And that's that adds to its timeless character. Now, I want to ask, you know, how do you do a all-day job like you do and dad at the same time? Because that's a whole thing.
Yes, it is. Well, luckily, my wife is fantastic. You know, Jordan, she is the absolute best. She you know, married me kind of knowing what my job was.
Sure.
And, you know, she was a nurse at Parkland for a long time.
A job.
Yeah. She was a surgical ICU nurse.
Oh, my goodness.
So we had, she has some stories. So, you know, when we first got married, and especially when I was working for Nick for a long time, we were kind of ships passing in the night sometimes.
Yes. He's speaking of Nick Badavinas, another very well-known restaurateur who owns Neighborhood Services and many others.
So for 10 years I worked for him.
Yeah.
And so she was, you know, she'd work the morning shift and leave the house at 5:30 and be home at 8 or work the night shift. And we kind of just, when we had our first kid, Beau, our oldest, we we're blessed with like a fantastic nanny who came on and did just a great job with him. I did, you know, I had Sundays off, so that was our time to really kind of cram everything for 1 week into a day.
Yeah.
And when your kids are small, it's a lot easier because they don't, I say they don't need you as much. They probably need you more for their basics, like living, you know, eating. But, you know, as they get older, they have their friends and they want to go do stuff. Luckily, with this restaurant, we opened the last week of school. The big test is going to be next week when the kids go back to school. So we haven't really had to do, you know, a lot of quote unquote co-parenting this summer because we have a pool. They have their friends in the neighborhood. So I leave in the morning. I see them for about 15 minutes. My son stays up, at night sometimes and waits for me to come home, which is super cute.
Yeah.
Sweet boy.
Yeah. Which is great. And he sometimes, you know, he's passed out on the couch and he pops up and he's like, I wasn't asleep, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
And, but we see each other a little bit right now and luckily Jordan knows that this is for a short period of time. So next week is going to be the big test as far as when the kids get back in school and sports get going and dance gets going and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
I already told her. I'm like, lean on me.
Exactly.
Those mom friends to help.
You sure
do. And Julie has been fantastic because, you know, we've talked about this a lot with you and Kelly and kind of two people that don't have a normal 9-to-5 job.
Yep.
You just have to kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
And luckily we've had a lot of practice with that. And we've kind of figured it out and it continues to kind of change and evolve all the time. So you just have to communicate.
Right.
You know? And it's kind of like running a restaurant. Unfortunately, you have to communicate a lot with a lot of people all
That's
the
right.
time. and like I tell the staff all the time, you know, when you open a place, I have 3 kids, but it's like I have 50 more kids.
Absolutely.
Because you have, you know, all these servers and cooks and dishwashers and managers, and they all need something.
Well,
you
know personal things about them too, right? It isn't just about the job. It's about boyfriends and girlfriends and dogs. And
you know you know more stuff than you ever want to know.
Yeah. but like a good manager does.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like you also know when their birthdays are probably and all that other stuff.
100%. And and you get to know that stuff. And you get to, I think having kids has made me actually better and more patient with this stuff.
That's good.
Because, you know, I'm 45 now, and I remember when I was 24 or 25 and in the restaurant business and you know, just wanting to get a weekend off to go party with my friends or, you know, go do something.
Yeah.
And how important that is to you at the time where I didn't see that. You know, you kind of get blinded by it when you start working and you get locked in and you're like, you don't need to go do that. But now I understand it a lot more, so I think I'm a little bit softer in that regard.
Right.
I used to not be.
yeah.
But I think having kids and stuff is kind of makes you grow up.
Yeah.
Agree.
It makes you grow up.
It's really cool. I guess just seeing it from our perspective, and you talk about Jordan, and she is truly amazing.
Yeah.
You know, just handling it all right now and not like complaining about it because she almost just smiles when you ask her about it because she knows you're realizing your dream.
Absolutely.
Which is like the sign of a true awesome freaking spouse, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, I've been there too and there were days where it was just like you know, and I haven't seen that from her, just so you know.
Yeah,
like
yeah, well,
she's amazing. And
she is.
And so
she
I think part of that is obviously because you've kind of reached this point that you've worked to for so long to get to. And so that was my next question is kind of like, what were the steps to get you here?
Yeah.
Obviously this was probably a dream of yours once you first got into the restaurant business.
For sure.
So how did you kind of get to this point and how does it feel now that, I mean, you're still in the thick of it.
Yeah,
how
exactly.
How does it feel now that you got here?
You know, when you start out in this business, I kind of started, I went to culinary school in 2002, and it was, I truly just loved the restaurant business. And I've told Sarah this before, and Austin and I kind of have the same philosophy. I like to throw a fun party. Like I like for people to have a good time. I like for them, you know, to obviously enjoy the food, enjoy the atmosphere. That's why I always liked about the restaurant business. I'm a night person, so it always was a business that I was like, man, I can stay up all these hours and I can sleep in and then, you know, go in late and be up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I never really had this big aspiration of I need to be this huge restaurateur. I have like this place that I have to have. I think I've been patient with it, and I've worked for independent operators my whole career, which I've learned a lot from them, and just
and really good people.
And really good people, you know, really, really good mentors. Two of my best friends are in the restaurant business, Jason and Jake Dady, who I grew up with in Coppell. Jason started his first restaurant in San Antonio when he was 25. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough to work with them for a couple years, and Jason's like a big brother to me. And then, you know, working with Nick for, you know, almost 10 years, who's just a fantastic operator, and owner, and just, you know, I say just good visionary, and understanding what the market needs and bringing that to the market. And then Jay, of course, has his own style.
He's talking about Jay Gerrier,
sorry.
Connie Rosa.
Yeah.
Zoli's.
I think it wasn't like I have to do this right now. And I think sometimes people get a little ahead of themselves when they think I need to have my own restaurant. I need to be an executive chef, or I need to do this right now, and kind of compare themselves to other people. I just waited until the time was right. And when the old Blue Goose space became available, Austin called me and said, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right now. And I was at
love that energy.
Yeah. And,
and you're like, okay.
And I said, okay. and I think I've told you this, you know, when I first moved back to Dallas, I lived on Vickery, which is, you know, a street over from the Blue Goose. I opened Hibiscus. That's where I met Nick. And I used to go to Greenville Bar and Grill. I used to go to Blue Goose. I used to go to Stan's all the time. And
great
so
bars.
This became, when this kind of came on, became available, it felt right. It felt like, okay, this is the time for me to step out and kind of take everything that I've learned in my career and let's do it for we were looking for East Dallas, you know, we wanted East Dallas to have its own kind of neighborhood spot, little bistro restaurant where people could go and have a good time and, you know, consider it their own. And
yeah.
So that was kind of our starting point, was our jumping off point. And, we had the opportunity to do it. We went and pitched the restaurant, and in 8 days I quit my job. We got
oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Like it was going.
Yes.
Crazy.
One of my favorite Goodwin stories is that you said and meant it as you were designing and constructing the place, come by and we'll show it to you.
Yeah.
And when somebody tells a journalist that, and I'm sort of a person who takes people at their word, I kept seeing you and you kept giving me tours. It was
yeah.
the best thing ever. It was
yeah.
like, you meant it and I heard you mean it, and
absolutely.
I kept showing up too. And so close to before you opened, my family and I were across the street at Halcyon having breakfast on a Saturday morning. And, you know, it was like full Saturday morning. I had my hair up in a bun. My kids might have been wearing their pajamas. I can't remember.
I think one of them was.
Yeah. And or certainly mismatched something. And my husband Chase was with us. And we saw y'all out there, or you saw me, something.
Yeah.
And it was like, come on across the street.
Yeah.
And so I brought the whole family across the street. And as it turned out, your two girls were in the restaurant, which
yeah.
was still being finished up.
Yep.
My two girls come in the restaurant. They become probably best friends.
They were immediately besties.
Yeah, and the idea was, let's spend 5 minutes. My husband hadn't seen the inside yet, and I was still, you know, like just so excited about seeing what you were doing next.
Yeah.
And the best part of all of it was, though, these girls just, they sat around one or two iPads playing the same game. There's a paint by number game you taught. One of your daughters taught my daughter, and it is now like the thing that they do on planes and stuff. But it was just this cute kid thing, and it was like, working dad, working mom with our people on a Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, not, you probably weren't expecting to talk to a Dallas Morning News journalist. I, you know, wasn't expecting, but it wasn't, didn't feel like work at all.
Yeah.
You were really just like, come on into my neighborhood spot. You're a neighbor.
Yeah.
And that feeling extends to the restaurant itself. And
thanks.
I think the people who walk through the door feel like you think you're their neighbor.
Absolutely.
But our kids still talk about it.
Yeah, well, that's great.
I know.
I mean, that's what we tried to do, especially at the end of the construction process, because, you know, Blue Goose was such an institution and it's such a great corner. And, you know, we wanted to respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to make sure that people in the neighborhood knew that this was going to be a spot for them.
Yeah.
And we, if people walk by and poke their head in or put their face against the glass,
uh-huh.
you know, we kind of brought them in. And that was one of the big reasons why we have a little kids menu on the
yep.
that, you know, if people come in with kids, they can ask for it. I told Austin after, you know, a couple of weeks of people walking by on a Saturday with strollers and their kids, you know, on their back with coffee and, you know, looking stressed out, kids younger than ours. Yep. I remember what it was like to be in that spot. And I knew that we wanted them to have a place where they could go. And that wasn't, you know, just a counter service place. If they wanted to have a real date or get out of the house and feel like they were part of the world again.
Sure.
They could come in and do that.
Parents, there's probably nothing better you can do for a parent than make them feel seen as they parent in real life.
Absolutely.
Like, man, the tips are bigger.
Yeah.
The compliments are bigger. Like, you see a mom or a dad and meet them where they're at, and they're probably going to do their best to have their kids behave as well.
For sure.
It comes and it goes.
Yeah,
right?
It does. Oh, it does.
But, man, that's... you know, we talk a lot about kids in restaurants on our own podcast, Eat Drink DFW, and there's like this European model that doesn't exactly exist specifically in Dallas and maybe in other major cities, where like there are kids in places like that, and they're not crying, throwing food, center of attention. They're just part of a family experience. And it's like, man, my family strives so hard to have that in Dallas restaurants. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But a lot of that is the give and take. It's also the place that wants you to be there.
For sure.
Who thinks about what your kids might like to eat. Who thinks that maybe they should take the kids' order before they take the adult's order. You get my wine and my kids' cheeseburger at the same time, everybody is happy.
Exactly. You're good. Yeah.
You're going to get a good tip because you know the drill. Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is some people come in and they can grab a quick bite. They can have a bottle of wine or a couple cocktails. And, you know, if it's Friday, they come in early, 5:15, and they can be home by 6:30. And then if they want to have some more cocktails at home and or whatever and put the kids down, then they feel like they've had a successful night, which
I think
is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Goodwin's doesn't, for the record, it doesn't feel like the kind of place where you should take your kids like later in the night. And I think anybody who's thinking about going to Goodwin's, it is an awesome date night spot, and it's an awesome group adult spot.
Yeah.
But you totally can take your kids. It's just kind of that respectful thing.
Yeah.
You go a little earlier.
Right.
Exactly.
And it, I think it would really work well.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us about crafting the menu. How do you, where do you start and then... And
Are there any have-to-haves?
Yeah.
Are there any like absolutely nots?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like on the menu right now, that,
or anytime. Like I hate this dish. We're never doing that.
That's a good question. I think this could be a very long answer. I think I probably did about 30 versions of the menu.
that's a lot.
And as construction started and where we started when, you know, I quit my job, we signed the lease. The idea from where we started to where we finished, it wasn't far off, but it definitely got more focused, especially as the restaurant was getting finished out and was kind of like my college career was like, oh shit, I better study right now. You know, like
the procrastinating, it's the like cramming.
This building's beautiful. Maybe we should put a cocktail menu together. I don't know, you know. Yeah.
Well, and you got to decide who you want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a little scary.
And that's I think the hardest thing. It's the hardest thing and the easiest thing because that is the question. What do you want to be? What do you want to say? How do you want people to kind of perceive you from a food standpoint, from
a price standpoint,
from a restaurant standpoint? And, you know, I think I told you Baltazar in New York was always one of my big touchstones. Keith McNally's restaurants, Baltazar Minetta Tavern, which is based on kind of this classic French bistro. Which my training is obviously they teach you classical French, but I kind of went on this journey through my 20 some years of cooking and thought about, I went through old menus because I kept all my menus from the restaurants I worked with my notes on it. I went through all of my cookbooks multiple times.
Is there like a box?
There is.
I want to go there.
It's a spare closet in one of our rooms, and it's books that are marked that I've left marked through my entire career cooking.
Love this.
And new stuff that I marked and just thought about the food and how we wanted to present it. We knew that we wanted to do a fun raw bar program with oysters and some raw seafood because there wasn't a lot of that on the street.
Yeah.
which has turned out well. We're selling about 1,400 oysters a week.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Where do they come from?
They mostly come out of the Steve Conley is our main seafood provider, which is out of Boston and Gloucester. So
East Coast oysters.
East Coast oysters.
Yeah.
Technically, you're not supposed to have West Coast oysters on the menu. Not allowed.
So don't do Gulf Coast.
We don't. We do a little of the Murder Point oysters out of Alabama. Mm-hmm. Those are the only kind of Gulf oysters that we do.
Yep.
But they're mostly, from the Northeast. We knew we wanted to start there with the raw seafood. I knew we wanted to have some fun shareable apps because the way the restaurant's laid out with kind of the two bars, and then the main dining room, we thought about having three different experiences in the restaurant. You can come sit at the main bar and, you know, if you're in your flip-flops and t-shirt and grab a quick bite. If you want to come in with friends, here's the main dining room. If you want to slip into Goose Bar and, you know, kind of tuck away, which
it's my favorite.
I won't say both of you guys have done, but both of you all have done.
We need to do that together sometime.
We do, Julie. I'll call you next time,
right? Please.
But you know, trying to think about how how to do that, and price point was a big focus.
We talked about that a lot because dinner has never cost more.
Correct.
And dining has never been more of a sport.
Yeah.
And even for regular folks, not just people with a lot of extra income. And so, yeah, I think the pricing on your menu seems very fair.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that a lot of the dishes are really involved.
Yeah.
Even though they don't read, I think you did a good job of, like, will you talk about the chicken dish?
Yeah. So the chicken dish was, that was one of my favorites to that I kind of came up with during the R&D process. And I worked on it at my house, and I would bring it up to Alamo Club, which is, you know, the restaurant that Austin owns down the street. And I was like, man, this is really, really good, but it is going to be an enormous pain in the ass to try to do this.
Yeah.
And his words were, you have to do it no matter what. You have to figure it out. And that's why, you know, that's
why
we,
he said that.
I think he just liked it so much.
He loved the dish.
Yeah. And, I love a half chicken on a menu, but I was thinking about, you know, the kind of the pitfalls of the half chicken, which is how do you eat it? A lot of people don't understand how to eat a half chicken, or you want chicken and then you get one and then there's all these bones and it's like, is this a wing or a leg? A lot, you know, people don't know some of that
stuff.
It's
tough to be cute too.
Yeah, and exactly. And if you're at a six top with friends, you don't want to be the one that's like gnawing into your chicken and then it's all over your nice dress or your shirt or whatever. So I wanted to figure out an easier way to eat it. And so we kind of came up, I did some research and, it's a long process. The breast gets taken and we roll it up and we roll it in chicken skin. We season it and roll it in chicken skin. It gets sous vide for about 2 hours.
Wow.
At a lower temp. The leg and thigh is like a traditional duck confit dish. So we season it ahead of time with herbs, garlic. There's a little bit of duck fat, a little bit of roasted garlic oil. It sits for a day. Then it gets vacuum sealed and it gets sous vide for about 6 hours at another temp.
Did you think about making this a special?
I did, but we said, let's just put it on the menu.
Yeah.
And honestly, I thought the half chicken and the steak sandwich would be the first two things that we would take off the menu.
Okay.
I didn't, just because we've tried to do it. I've tried to do it at a lot of different places and it never sells. And it kind of took off from both of those dishes took off from the beginning. And so we figured it out. It's just, we figured it out. It's like anything, it's hard at first. And then once you kind of like riding a bike, you know, once you kind of figure out that, you know, don't turn the wheel too hard to the right, then you figure out how to go straight. And then you run into a wall and then you tell yourself, well, hit the brakes before you run into the wall. So that's like that every single day.
You're right.
Well, that steak dish reads very well. Because here's something that I don't know if a lot of people think about this when you go to a restaurant, but a really great server will talk about food in a really enticing way and maybe push you toward ordering this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
But whether you have a good server or not, most customer's first experience with the food is with the words.
Correct.
On the menu. And if depending on how things sound, probably changes wildly how it sells, even what it's called. So that steak dish, we got it the first time we went because I was like, we have to have that.
Yeah.
What's it called? And what?
The Underhill?
Yeah. What's the story with that?
So the Underhill is our steak sandwich, which is a line from one of my favorite movies, Fletch.
It's fun to name menu items, and we like to
be kind of fun and whimsical, and you know, that's something that Nick used to do all the time. There's a lot of inside jokes on his menus, uh-huh. and I always think that people want to know what the deal is, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the people that see the Underhill, there's a line in Fletch when he's at a country club and he's pretending to be somebody else, and one of the guys, Mr. Underhill, is being a jerk to him through these couple scenes, and then he goes to order. One of the servers comes up and asks if he wants to order some food, and he orders a steak sandwich and a steak sandwich and put it on the Underhill tab. So the steak sandwich is kind of an homage to Fletch.
Yeah.
You know, and some people still don't get it. I think it's somebody, people my age and sometimes a little older, they're like, oh, a steak sandwich, okay, I get it. So sure. When the light comes on for them, they're like, that's hilarious, I have to get that.
Yep.
You know, and it was just fun. And again, I didn't think we would sell any of those things, and we sell an absolute ton, which is, I mean, I'm happy.
That's a delight.
I'm happy for it. Like, it's great. Yeah. I think it's a fun dish, and I'm glad that it's still there. And we've kind of seen that the food is sold pretty evenly across the board. Usually when you open up the first 6 weeks, you're doing a lot of editing, a lot of taking stuff off, putting stuff on. And everything's been selling, you know, pretty well. So there hasn't been one dog in the bunch where you're like, man, let's just get it off.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Which is fun.
Mm-hmm. A couple months in now, this will probably be the last question. Okay. I know you have to get back to work and everything. a couple months in, is it about what you expected? More challenging?
I think when we were going through the construction process, and when we were getting to the end, we had a lot of oh shit moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where, not that we didn't know what we were doing, but it's just like anything when you go out in this business, and when it's you kind of in the spotlight, there's nobody else behind you to kind of say, well, this guy thought of that, you know, where it's like, this guy came up with that dish. I know it's terrible.
They're your dishes.
So yeah, exactly. So you're kind of, we had a lot of oh shit moments where it was like, man, this better work. I hope this works. And the first week, you know, it is terrifying. The first day is terrifying, but after you get the first couple weeks, it was like, okay, like this is working right now, and what we were trying to say and what we wanted to do, people are getting it. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of kind of what Sarah said. We've heard that sentiment from a lot of people, which means the most. You know,
I bet.
It means the world to us. It you can't ever be everything to everybody as a restaurant, and we know that. And I think sometimes when you're younger, you want to be everything to everybody all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I think if you stay true to yourself. And like for me, the food that I like, that's what we put on the menu, mm-hmm. food that we like to eat. And so it's like, if you don't like it, then that's fine. But a lot of people like it. So I think we're in a good spot. I think we talk about it every day, just getting a little bit better. I don't know. Did you watch The Bear?
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch the last season?
Yes, but we're not finished with it yet.
Did you see the Thomas Keller episode?
Was that the first one?
Or was it near the flashback? I can't remember.
Yes.
It was in the middle. But Thomas Keller was talking to Carmi about just getting a little bit better every single day.
Like,
you don't have to come in here and take over the world. You don't have to be the best, but just concentrate on getting a little bit better every single day. And if you do that, then you know, you'll see your progress. So we talk about that a lot with our staff. We talk about that with, you know, my team of chefs, and Danielle and Michael have been by my side, and I couldn't have done it without them. They're just incredible people. They put up with me and my craziness sometimes. But we're going to try to get better. We're going to open for lunch in about a month.
Oh, nice.
Heck yeah.
So that's the next challenge, which is, okay, now we got to double the staff.
And the menu will be a little bit different.
It'll be a little bit different. We'll take a couple things off, but most of the menu, 80% of it will be about the same.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
And just so we can kind of keep that going.
Uh-huh.
We just took over in the building next door, the old refuel space.
Mm-hmm. You did?
Yes, about a month ago.
Cool.
So there's
a tip for the reporters,
yeah,
right?
So
tell me more.
So that will be, we're calling it Good Ones to Go. But that will be, we don't have enough room in our kitchen to have a full staff during lunch. And I have 6 prep cooks.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to move all of our daytime production over there for lunch. So they're kind of out of the way. Danielle is going to run the catering piece for that.
But it'll be customer facing too?
Yeah. So we're trying to figure that part out right
cool.
now. But we're going to run catering out of there. And then the plan is right now, hopefully, to do some family meals for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Nice.
Where you can buy a package deal where it's like, okay, here's your turkey, here's your tenderloin, here's all your sides, here's the price.
Here's some Nancy's party dip. This feta dip is a goodie.
It
was only after I ate it and enjoyed it that I was like, okay, who is Nancy?
Yeah.
Nancy is Austin's mom.
It's Austin's mom, yeah.
So it's
love
grandma.
It is.
So, so we have a lot of stuff kind of in front of us right now. And you know, 2 months is nothing in kind of restaurant time.
Right.
It's nothing, and it's forever because it's a lot of hours. But we still have a lot ahead of us, and we have more stuff that we want to do and continue to grow and figure out what the next concept is. But that's still down the line. We want to stay in East Dallas and support East Dallas and figure out what the next fun thing is.
Yeah, well, so, we'll be following
along
the way, and we're super proud of everything that you've been able to accomplish so far, and it's so fun to have you guys in the neighborhood, the neighborhood, your family, and the neighborhood, the restaurant. And I love that this worked out for you to come in here today with
Sarah. Thank
you
for having me. It's awesome.
And everyone, go check out Good Ones.
Yeah.
You will not regret it. It's delicious. Okay, so we end our show the same way every single time. I don't know if you know. Sarah, do you remember?
No.
You've done it before.
I know.
It's a double peace sign.
Okay.
And we look into the camera and we say, Mom, game out on the count of 3.
Got it.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
So, I have to look in a different one?
Yeah.
Guys, this is.
I know. It's like.
This is some serious television production.
Fancy.
It's just a little writer over here.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Ready.
Okay. So on the count of 3, we're going to do double peace signs.
Okay.
We're going to say, Mom, game out. You ready?
All right.
You ready? Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Mom game out.
The Mom Game is proud to partner with local GEICO offices, Victoria Elliott, proudly serving your local community.